Okay, no, no, you can hear me, Mr. Kramer. What I'm working with is like the periods of...
I don't understand very well. I'm pretty hard hearing.
That's okay. Just stop me whenever. You were here in 1931, correct?
I came to Harlem's to live in 1931.
Okay, at that time, what business and what business were you doing? And what business?
What business I go in?
Yes, sir.
I went in partners with my brother, Earl, and the mattress and canvas business. We had awnings, we made awnings and took tarpaulins and it was in the mattress business. And we was pretty hard time.
The economic?
Huh?
Economically, was it a hard time financially?
Yeah, it was pretty hard time. And we drew a little bit of money just enough to eat on and had to buy supplies and equipment after Bureau. We didn't have any insurance there when Bureau came in 1933. And tore us up and ruined a lot of our material and machinery. And we took all we could make to buy equipment and supplies back to start back. And we were in partners there for till I believe 1936, and we moved part of our equipment to Corpus Christi, and my brother and his family moved to Corpus Christi, and we finally dissolved partnerships. He took the Corpus place, and I kept this place here, and
How much were y'all making, more or less? How much money were y'all making, more or less, like, early?
You mean in the mattress business?
Yes, sir.
Really, I couldn't tell you. Just didn't make a lot of money. We made a living. Mm-hmm. And we too, we made machinery and bought the building and had to rebuild the building. And after he left, and then a war came on, well, our business picked up and we made some money. Wife and I made some money. We left to buy this 400 acres out there at the home place there. And we ran the business to wife and a young man I had there in the office. We ran the business for until we started farming in 1948, but we continued to run the business, the wife and little time I had spent there. We closed it up, and now 58, I think we closed the mattress business, and sold the building, and Bill was going to school in college in Kerrville, Texas, at Shriner Institute. Founder of college, and he wanted to farm, so after we bought the place in 44 and we leased it out till 48, when he came home, well, then he and I went to farm the home place out there. And later, about 67, we bought a couple hundred acres down east of south and east of Rio Hondo.
How much more or less was it expensive to buy land at that time?
Huh?
Was it expensive to buy land at that time?
Was it expensive to buy what?
Land, the property, the acres.
Well, yeah, we paid $350 an acre for that 200 acres. But the property I bought out here, I bought that 400 acres there for $30,000, $75 an acre. Got the mineral rights and everything. And then 71, we bought the what we call the County Line farm, and we paid $1,500 an acre for that piece of land. And sold the stuff out east.
Did you borrow from the banks? Was it hard to borrow money from banks and so forth at that
time?
Well,
when I first started farming, I borrowed money from the First National Bank here in Harza. They were very nice to me and helped me quite a bit get started. And after I got started good, I didn't have to borrow any more money from them. But back there in hard times, I borrowed a little money from them. They were very nice. And Mr. Breedlove and Evan Hirsch Mr. Brady. Very easily dressed and Ray Love and Evan Hurst. But when I bought the 820 acres there, I borrowed some money. I borrowed about $150 for the bank there. 10 years, I paid it off in 3 years. And when I bought the home place, I paid cash for it. I had the money, and I didn't have to borrow any money.
So you had mentioned that when the war came, that your business boomed?
Yeah.
Was that because of the war?
That's when we, made a little money there during this war, when they had the air base out here. Well, everybody seemed to have money. We had quite a business in the mattress business at that time.
Did you witness any segregation?
Huh?
Did you witness any discrimination back then?
No, not that. Mm-hmm. We had a nice crew. I had a good crew there. I never had any trouble.
Were you educated back then?
Huh?
Did you get an education while you were growing up?
I went through the eighth grade.
Eighth grade?
Yeah.
Do you come from a big family yourself?
There's two boys and two girls.
Well, your family, your father and your mother, what did they do? What did your father do? Was he a farmer or?
No, my father was a carpenter. A carpenter and blacksmith. He was a blacksmith.
Were you originally from the United States?
I was born in Kirk County. In Hunt, Texas, in Kirk County. 1902. And today I'm 95 years old.
95.
I'm a senior.
So you can say you had a great life, but a lot. You can say you had a great life, but you had struggles.
I had a very pleasant life. Family, they all had a nice family on both sides of the father and the mother. And my son had four boys. We all had a nice family.
So all you've done on the farming has been cotton and grain?
Yeah, cotton and grain.
Why didn't you enlist in the force? Why didn't you enlist in the government? Why didn't you go into the government, like, during the wartime? You didn't believe in it, or?
I don't believe I know what you said.
During World War II, did you experience that, any effect that they had on you, or particularly down here? How about the wars? I mean, not the wars, but the... Is there anything else that happened in South Texas that we're not aware about?
Like in what?
Is there anything else that happened here in South Texas that would...
No.
That would make it memorable?
We fished quite a bit until they got too hard to work and went to hunting. That's about all. My wife passed away in 1979, December 1979. And I've been living here in this house by myself since then.
So you enjoy hunting and fishing? You and Bill enjoy hunting and fishing?
Yeah,
but y'all still do it, don't y'all?
Huh?
Y'all still participate in hunting, don't?
Yeah. We built this house here in I think 67. I think we built this house here. I bought the lot and had the house built here in 67. And I've been living by myself since 79. Two first words. I've had help. When I was sick, I had help. And no use to tell you what kind of experience I had there. They all got wrong all right. When they left, I know I didn't have anything much left after they left. took all my bed sheets and pillows. Now, clothes, it's about robbing.
How many kids did you have, Mr. Panwell?
Huh?
How many children did you have, you and your wife?
Just Bill.
Just Bill?
Yeah.
How was the economic role? Well, how was it when you were to go buy food? How cheap was it? Was it real cheap back then to purchase food, clothes, and so forth compared to today's prices?
What?
how was the price back then? Like, if you wanted to go buy a coat, how cheap was it, like, compared to days?
Well, I just saw today that they bought a hamburger for 10 cents. And today at noon, I bought a hamburger for $2.15.
Big difference.
And we bought the coat for 5 cents. And I would pay 50, 60 cents for it all. Go to cafe, you pay 75 cents for a cup of tea. And we bought gasoline for about 35 cents, 38 cents.
Do you wish the times were the same back then?
Huh?
Are you happy that things changed, or do you wish it was like back then?
I don't believe I understand what you mean.
Is it easier to living in these times or back then?
Oh, I wasn't cold in good old days. I've enjoyed the last 50 years more than I did the first year. It was like that time was just ordinary poor family, you might say. We didn't have a lot. We had an automobile and a home, but we didn't have a lot of extra. We always had plenty. I lived in Brady, Texas, and I worked there 4 years at a service station for $20 a week before I married. When I married, I made about $20 a week.
Was that enough?
Huh?
Was that enough to make a living?
Well, with the wife working, she taught school, she taught expression, speech. And she made a lot of money that time. She made the money, I didn't make any money.
Was it common for women to work back then?
Not of course like it is now. I've seen the time since women have taken a lot of the jobs. And they taught school and worked with telephone company, first thing like that, and bookkeeping and like that, but not like they are today. You didn't need much money back in those days because everything was just like it is now. You make a little more money, you're paying more for stuff. Back there, you didn't make any money, you didn't pay for stuff like that. So, it's just not the same.
How were things transported back then?
Huh?
Was the railroad used often back then? The railroads, the trains?
Yeah, the railroad was given the business instead of the trucks now. And the railroad was you got freight, you got to pay the railroad. And as the town developed on, the trucks took over.
What was the highest ethnicity that took over? Was it Anglo-Americans? Or
huh?
What type of ethnicity was it mainly down here in South Texas? Did you see a lot of Anglo-Americans, African, were there any African-Americans down here in large numbers?
I don't believe I understand what you mean.
The groups, you know, you have your Hispanics, you have your Anglos, you have your African-Americans.
Well, myself personally, I never thought anything about any of it.
But was it a mixture?
We took it as they come, as far as that's concerned. back in Brady, there were very few there wasn't any colored people. Back in my early time, the black man then was a Negro.
Okay.
And there was no Spanish people there, not that I know of, in Brady when I lived there. I don't believe I knew if some Jews was the one. I don't believe.
You say you didn't participate, you didn't care much about if there were Negroes or Spanish.
Yeah.
But did you witness other people's...
Back in those days, back there when early when I quit school, you could get a job just most anywhere, plenty of jobs. I never, until up in the 29s, in the 30s, you couldn't hardly get a job.
And what was that?
I was in California, and I had a job out there, a fruit ranch.
What's the reason that at those times, 1929, 1930, it was so hard to get a job? Why was it so hard to get a job?
Why was it hard to get it? Well, just what did it thing particularly going on? Maybe harder than here, the city went on script during our time that we was in business. And they'd take the script and hold it for several years before they took it up. But that way back there in the First World War, you could get a job just anywhere. But I was too young for the First War and I was too old for the Second. So I never did go to service. There was the age to go to service. And neither was my brother. He was 2 years older than I was.
Would you have any pictures? Huh? Would you have any pictures dating back then?
Any pictures?
Pictures.
Do I have any pictures?
Oh, yes, sir.
I got lots of them.
Would you be interested?
Huh?
May I see them, or would you be interested in showing them?
I'll see if I can find them. Somebody's been looking at these things just stare them out. There's Willie.
Is Willie your brother?
Here's a place I live. I owned a house down out of Harder down on San Pedro Highway there before I built this place.
Was that your first automobile?
I don't know what that is. That's an automobile. First automobile we had a Chevrolet, and then we had a Ford. And we went to automobile. My wife had a Cadillac 1 year. For several years. I think that was Bill's car, that automobile, I don't think.
At what age did Bill have a car?
Huh?
At what age did Bill have a car?
What age did I have a car?
Bill.
Me? first pool down when I was 15 years old.
15 years old.
We bought a Ford that cost about $500, a little over $500. A Ford touring car. That boat right there was ours.
So you,
it had a bunk we slept in it, and it had a little galley. And right here, we took the editor of the Valley Morning Star to cut whenever they opened up the Intercoast Canal up above Raymondville. Well, he this boat here, we took him up there. Yes, he was editor. And we went from Port Isabel up in that boat right there. That was a bunch of boats went up there.
So y'all will go out fishing quite a bit? Y'all will go out fishing in your boat quite a bit?
Yeah, I fish quite a bit.
Yes, in your boat?
Oh yeah, we just go out in the Gulf. Fish for kingfish and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, enjoy it very much. And when Bill was off for school, wife and I had that boat. We spent a lot of nights out in the bay on that boat.
Is there any relationship to the Cantwell?
Huh?
Is there any relationship to that Cantwell mattress?
Is there any what?
Relationship still? I mean, you were in the Cantwell mattress business.
Yeah.
There's still a business up there in Corpus, I believe. Is there still a relationship between y'all, or is that a completely new owner?
Yeah, we were partners after a few years, and he had a son, one son, and I had one son, and it just didn't work out, I ran this and he ran that, and just about made a living about all the way, so we just you take that and I'll take this one. I had a big picture like that. I don't know where it is now. I haven't seen it for years. After the hurricane, our place tore up there. Mm-hmm. I had a picture there, but I don't know where it is now. I might find it, but I don't know where. But at 33, that hurricane 1933 tore us up in the business, so we didn't have any insurance. And the bank was nice to us, the lumber yard. We just couldn't build a house back, and our lumber yard man we bought a lumber from says, "You don't need any money, just come and get whatever you wanted and build your house back and pay me whenever you can." That's Spencer Sauer Lumber Company. And they were my nice, the bank was nice, and power company, and all of them, very considerate. Of course, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody was. The insurance company that loaned money for people to build a house and all. The insurance company owned just a bunch of houses in Harlingen. Just a bunch of houses. It took them over. People just couldn't pay it. A lot of people lost their homes here in Harlingen.
Well, Mr.
Everybody just knowing what it was until they, and they went through the war. We had rationing gasoline and rationing sugar and a lot of things. We had a bootleg for gasoline for our trucks. Eddie gave us enough gasoline to run our trucks. And we bought sugar in Mexico and things like that. That was before your time, are you?
Well, Mr. Cantwell, I want to thank you.
You think you'll ever make a thing out of that?
Oh, yes, sir. Like I said, they're always looking for stuff.
Someday when you get it recorded, run it over for me. Enjoy it live. When I was in California, I worked on out here they call them orchards, out there they call them fruit ranches. I drove caterpillars there on a whole caterpillar. That's a while. 5 and yesterday orchards and all that kind of stuff. I guess that's a couple of more Bill's boys. That was Willie when he was a little boy. As we lived out in California at that time, as my wife and Bill. A lot of pictures of him. Back when we started picking cotton by a machine, we had a wop or something. There it is there. Oh, I can't think of his name right now, but that's some of the picking cotton by a machine. He's come in here and live. That time, most all of our cotton machine down was people came in, and I was up the state and out of the state. I've done a little bit of every kind of work I have in all my life. Before I married, back there when I lived in Brady, I decided I wanted to be a barber. So I went to a barber school in San Antonio, barber school. And I got out, went to the oil field, tried to barber. I never did make a go of it. I barbered some in Sutton, Texas, and some in Corpus Christi, and in the oil field, but I never did conquer the deal. I was at a Nixon building there in Corpus Christi, and I'll never forget it. I was nervous. They all knew I was just out of school, but they gave me a job. An old boy, a man come in there, he's about 30 or 35, I guess. He's red-headed, face of red whiskers. He got my chair and wanted to shave. I laid him down there, I got him all lined up. I put the razor to his face just like I put it to a steel brush. Help me out there, Christian. And I backed off and dropped my legs a little bit more. I must have scraped it, I guess. But he said, never mind, since they all do that. Run a few days to get it in, he come back and got my life. Sure, yeah. I lasted about 2 weeks, so I got hard. And I was in Sentinel, my cousin little boy's head, and I didn't go on that day, Saturday night, I was in a barbershop with a room full of people. I'm kind of a young fella, man. Monday morning, back there, he had the, had a boss to trim it up. But I'm glad I never did it. I'm glad I never did make it. I often think if I made it more, if I don't know what I'd have done. Well, we farmed on my dad's farm a little, and I worked on the farm out of California, so I knew a little bit when I started here, but if I hadn't had some money, I guess I'd have gone out, because I made lots of mistakes, and lost a lot of money, but I stayed with it. I had a good banker, and I learned a little bit. Don't know what hell about this.
All I need, Mr. Campbell, is your signature.
Huh?
All I need is for you to sign, saying that.
Well, they sign it.
Yes, sir. They want you to. They don't want to know that it was you who did this.
You want me to sign my full name, or just the way I signed the check?
Just anyway. I'll just put that there and right here, sir. Signature done. That's. Mr. Campbell.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed it. They had a good superintendent of the ranch that I worked on. The people owned it. They have it in San Francisco. They had a big winery. He raised lots of grapes too. I forgot about that. He had a lot of vineyard, and they had a winery there at one time. But they worked a lot of Italians, and his superintendent and his wife had a. I have some pictures there. They had a son and a daughter. And after we came back to Texas here, his wife and his son came to visit me. And he's on the train. And when they crossed the border into Texas, yes, wanted to know where their guns were. And later on, after I moved here in this house, the foreman, the superintendent there, he left that race and went on to another place. I stayed there another year. Well, they come down here and visit me. They came in a car. Children was married and had a family. They came and visited me here. And we enjoyed the visit. and my wife, father, mother, trying to find a picture of my parents if I could. I haven't found it yet. In a dentist's office there.
Mickey, is that it?
Did you have any trouble, since you were so close to the border? Did you have any trouble back then? Did a lot of immigrants from Mexico enter into South Texas?
Personally, I didn't have any trouble. We visited Mexico quite a bit back when I was younger. I had a little trouble when I was working, went back. Yeah. Or the patrol tried to get me a little trouble. Tried to get a case against me, never did. Never did anything. That's my mother right there. Looks like the birthday. We worked a lot of people from Mexico when I first formed. Nearly all of my help was from over there. And the Border Patrol finally said they were going to take them off.
Did you ever get fined? Did they ever charge you? Did the Border Patrol ever charge you for having illegals?
They never get a case. Yes, they tried to get a case in the court for me, but then back there, it wasn't like it is now. Of course, they tried to, and we finally went to the Cerros and we went to pick cotton. We had, at one time, we had 100 Becerras out there at the farm, and that shed there, we had to turn that shed into a cookhouse and had bone chapel and furnished them sacks, and they picked their cotton.
So it's all by hand?
Yeah. All our cotton was picked by hand back then.
Would they work long hours? Would they work long hours? When would they start working until when would they stop?
Well, when did they start working? Well, they start in the morning, whatever they do is off the cotton, just like we do the pick now. For a while we had a whole bunch of wetbacks out there. They slept out on the ground. we had a 2-ton Ford truck there, and a stick body on it, We went down the river, recruited help, and we got 40 or 50 there one night. I'll never forget all those times we had. But he won't know where their gun was. He thought that everybody ought to have a gun. Well, when I went out there, I went across the desert, way up in New Mexico, way up in there in Colorado. I went across the desert. And the car, of course, we didn't have air conditioning that time. And I didn't know, and the wife, we didn't know what we was running into. We run into the desert without any water or anything. But the ones that knew had these canteens and had them hanging out. And sand blew and hot. Oh, and the wind was just blowing your face as hot. Well, we got into California. We got into Bakersfield. Before we got into the fruit, when I got into California, I thought I ought to see palm trees and fruit hanging all over the trees, you know, just like he thought they were going to see the gun. And I was very much disappointed there for a while until we got on into the interior where they raised all kinds of fruit and stuff. But they had pears, grape, prunes, and I witnessed a bunch of that. They had outside tables there, and cut a lot of pears for someone, I don't know, for Del Monte or somebody. And, of course, that prune comes off, it's just a big old plum, you know. Mm-hmm. And it dries, it's probably shake a tree to fall off in the sun and the ants and what have you come out of these, you know. And they get all that stuff up and bring it in. And they have a big pit, like they make these french fries and all, dip that in there, dip it down. Well, they have, of course, they had a big outfit that pistol and stuff in there, and live water. And that boiling water and that live water. They bring it out, they put it on sheets, they had plywood sheets, and they used horses there. And they take that stuff and they put them all over, well, this particular range, oh, what else did they put that all over the side of the hill out there, and let the sun dry over. Then they take it in and throw it at a building, shovel it in there. Have a whole house full of prunes. Have prune pie. You can't imagine it. A lot of stuff you see had a lot that you would need it if you saw how it
yeah.
Yeah. I worked in the sugar refinery in Sugar Land, Texas, Imperial Sugar Company. In that Brazos Bottom, at one time, it was all sugar cane like it is here, only in a bigger way. And they had their own railroad, narrow railroad, went down all in a swamp. And both of them, but they got their sugar bore and put them out of business. So they shipped the raw stalk in there in France and made sugar. And I worked at there where I bore the syrup, got it. Certain degrees, pumped it down way up into the aromatic up in there. pump it down there, and they put it a thing like a dryer, like a washing machine dryer. Well, they had grapes and that. That stuff would come in brown, kind of brown like, and they'd whirl that stuff until they whirl all the impurities out of it and finally turn white. And they had a bunch of Italians walk forth in there, and they'd scrape that stuff. Well, they'd pile that sugar up in there, like they had a room, they'd just pile it up in there, scoop it up in there, and walk around all over the top of it. I worked in a sulfuric acid plant. They had acid plant there. Sugarland, Texas was owned by an individual. They owned everything there except the depot and the post office. They owned the mercantile and the tailor shop and everything. And all the houses belonged to the company. And there wasn't anybody to live there. It didn't work for the company. They didn't have a house. But if you had a family and you worked for a house, come up, you got a house. And I worked in this sulfuric acid plant. And there worked a lot of Negro. They had a couple of penitentiary ranches around there. They'd get out of the penitentiary to come out and work there. And you didn't know who you was working with. Ex-con. This foreman in this acid plant, he got in this Negro working there. We called them Negroes at that time. They weren't black people, they were Negroes. And I guess he got a crossway with this Negro, and this Negro took a pick and killed that fella right there, you know, where I was there. And I went across the street. I had to go across the street, get over to the Sealy Mattress Company, right across it. Got a sheet come back and put over top of it. Well, in the meantime, before he killed that fella, he went and got his brother, and they come back there and they killed him. And the law took him to, they had no jail there, they took him to Richmond, which is about 10 miles from that, took him to jail. Well, they got up a mob that's going to go up and pull that nigga out of that jail and lynch him. And I didn't go, my brother was and they had a whole bunch of them in town went up there. Well, the Brazos River runs right along Richmond. I had a bridge there. Well, when they got to the bridge, well, they met the sheriff and all the deputies and all that stuff. On the other side, they met on the bridge. They didn't really get there. Better. I don't know what they were doing. But they was going to lynch him. But they had trusters come in town with their wagon and horses and get supplies. And they had a doctor there. They lived out there. He couldn't get in. And the doctor I had was from that penitentiary. But they had several phones out. But the sugar bowl put them out of business. I guess they couldn't, at that time, I guess they didn't have any chemicals to kill it. And I just wonder if that sugar bowl would ever get it started here in the valley to stop it. They just couldn't stop it. But they had their little railroads all down through that valley in that swamp to across those recyclers. They had their own They had their own railroad, their own switch engine, and all that stuff, and they sugar plant, machine shop, all that stuff, they paid you twice a month. If you want a little money, you go to the office, they'd issue not stamps, but they issue something there. I never did go there, but you couldn't spend it. You couldn't go to Houston and spend it. You'd have to spend it there. They get it back. Because they had the grocery store, the tailor shop, and the barber shop, and everything. They want everything but the post office and the depot. I want all the farmland around there. As quite an experience. I worked the acid plant, I worked in the mattress factory, I worked on the railroad. I was working at a machine shop my family, we had a Model T touring car. They took a notion they wanted to come back up. I was raised up here out of Kerr Valley. I had all the pin posts all scattered up and down the river there. And they wanted to come out and visit. So I had to do the driving for the pickup for the car. So I didn't tell them. I was just a young fellow. I didn't have much experience. I just quit. I just didn't show up. I went off, and I come back, I want my job. He said, no, you ain't had no job no more. So I lost my job. That didn't make a difference. You get a job. I was on there, then over to the sugar foundry. That was, they had their own machine shop there to take care of all the pipes and all that stuff. But I would have another department. And I worked at 15 nights and 15 days. My shift 15 nights and worked 15 days. And the whole compound there was a railroad. All the night they shut all the gates, big high gates. So I was working on Saturday night, and you had to wait until your tank shot full before you started to pump everything. So I wanted to go to a dance at the time, so I went there, because I don't know how to end finishing. somehow I never found it out. But I had to pump that stuff with a steam pump. Great bigger steam pump. I had to go downstairs and get it off center so it would run backwards and pump that stuff down, liquid down to the where they put it in this pouring machine of the world with all the moisture while that is. And it turned white. And the that's the imperial sugar you see in all these stores.